Hi, I'm Joel.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And the Tyranids, well, they're called the Great Devourer. They go from world to world, stripping it of all life very efficiently and very quickly. With the release of a new codex, they've got all sorts of new tactics and units to play with. We discuss how this will change Warhammer 40,000 today on the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And Games Workshop starts the year off with the release of a new codex, of course, the Tyranids, which, first of all, I guess, in terms of how Games Workshop does these things, with Warhammer 40,000, as with Warhammer Fantasy, every army has its own rule book that goes with it. It kind of gives details of all the units, all the rules that are related to that specific army, and so on. And basically, every couple of years, the army usually gets a refresh, where they get a new book, so they get new rules, kind of update some of the points, try to, in theory, balance things a little bit, but they add so much new stuff, it can throw things out of whack. But that's the idea behind it. So, like I said, this is for the Tyranids. They are a Warhammer 40,000 bug race. You think of guys with Starship Troopers, or the Zerg, which are based heavily on the Tyranids. But, you know, that kind of thing. The giant, lots of guys come down, swarm planets, eat them alive. So we've got not only a new rule book, we've got several new models. Cool looking one Trigon I got sitting back here, and we'll probably see a few more models come out in the next couple of months. That's usually how GW does it. It usually takes maybe a few months to get the full model range out. So let's just kind of jump into the overall layout of the show. Let's start here. Just as a brief mention about this book itself, it comes in at 96 pages long. Of course, I don't know if you're looking through my version. I got what I call the special edition, which is I actually got a misprinted Tyranid Codex. I got an extra 15 pages. So one of the sections is kind of doubled up a little bit. It's kind of funny. I don't know what it ended up at.
I'd like to point out, too, that that's the codex before this one was only 64 pages.
Yes.
So you get an extra 30 pages of Tyranid goodness.
Yeah, there's lots more fluff to it. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. So you've got, then, the cost of $25, which is more than Rask Codex was. The last one was $20. But that's just how GW has been doing it. The codex has been getting more and more expensive. I think the Space Marines one was $30 last fall when that one came out.
Yeah.
They're getting up there. It breaks down into four parts. There's a history section, as it usually is. Kind of talks about the history of the Tyranids, how they've been invading the Imperium of Man and dealing with the other alien races and so on. Which I guess it's kind of similar. I sat down and read through the whole thing. It's the same idea. They hit planets and they rip them apart. The one interesting section here is talk about High Fleet Leviathan. I can't show that too well on the camera, but, you know, it's just interesting how close the Tyranids are actually coming to attacking Earth, which, of course, is the center of the Imperium and where the Holy God Emperor lives, and if that ever fell, then humans would be in a lot of trouble. But yeah, it's really interesting to see how the kind of story changes a little bit. I think they do add stuff to the story, right? And they kind of alter some things a little bit from edition to edition, I think. You know, it's been such a long time since I read the last codex, so.
They very rarely, I think, tweak the continuity, but, you know.
I don't know, but I mean, I guess.
They do add to it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is 40K is such a big universe. You could add things in history that weren't there before and still have it make sense, so.
Right.
Then you get to what's called the Forces section, which pretty much describes the units themselves and special rules. Of course, we've got, in this case, a lot more expanded, what do you want to say, fluff to the units?
Yes.
Every unit's got a column and a half of, you know, actual, just text about what they are, where they've come from, what's happened to them, that kind of thing. Then they got the actual special rules that tell you how they interact with the game. We got the hobby section, as usual. It's the only full-color section to it, where, you know, they've got some really cool pictures about, you know, showing how you might paint the guys or, you know, cool battle scenes they've set up, how to customize them with different weapons, different equipment, that kind of thing. And then finally, the army list. The detailed point values, your options for building guys, the different weapons you can give them, how much this costs, and so on, and details like that. What do you think of this layout of the Codex versus the original one? I mean, the big change is now you've got the stats in two different places. You know, you've got the special rules in the first part, and then you've got the actual numbers in the back part. What do you think about that?
It gets a little confusing, I think, especially when you're first opening the codex up, because then you got to keep flipping back and forth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a little confusing.
it's something they've been doing to all the codexes so far. Imperial Guard was like right. that, and I assume some before that. I mean, I like the old format better where you had all the stats, all the weapons, all the special rules right at one page.
Yeah, so you could...
Yes, you got less fluff about the unit, but, you know, it's kind of a trade-off in that case. But I found that a little more, you know, a little more easier to use.
Me too.
And the other thing also, the fact that the Tyranids, they got such kind of customizable weapons, it doesn't talk about those in the actual front part, you know, of the first, the forces section. You only find about those in the army list. Right. So, you know, if you're just kind of quickly glancing through this book, you'll see, whoa, where'd all the weapon options go for the Tyranids? There's not listed in the first part, so it's a little messy in that way, too. As for artwork, it's a new cover artwork. Personally, I kind of like the old one a little bit better. So this is almost a little more cartoony, per se, but, I mean, it's still a pretty cool picture. You've got mostly black and white images. The actual unit images are a lot better. Then, of course, they've rehashed some artwork. If you've read any of the 40K books, you know you've seen this here and there before. It's just how they do things. Let's talk about some of the general trends here. First off, we got less customization with biomorphs, but similar weapon combos. So if you play the other codex, basically the same weapon combinations exist, but they have what were called biomorphs, which, you know, gave them plus more accurate, a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, those kind of things. You don't see that as much in this new codex.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's a different approach because I know last time when I played with the previous edition of the Codex, I would have to sit down and actually do a computer printout of the stats for my guys because you could customize your guys so many different ways. You could have three squads of warriors with, especially warriors, which were very customizable. So you had to sit down and write down all your enhancements just so that you could remember them all. So that is a little bit easier, and I do like that. So I think it's a move in the right direction.
Yeah, it's an interesting comment to think about that this is something GW is doing with the other armies. I know, like with the Imperial Guard, for example, they used to have things, I think they're called drills or something, where it's the same effect. You know, you'd make them more accurate, more stronger, that kind of stuff. And that got stripped out in the new Codex as well. So I've also seen in Warhammer Fantasy with my Lizardmen, same idea. They lost some of those kind of ability kind of things. I guess it's just a general trend GW is pushing the game. I mean, in some ways, it probably makes it easier to balance. Obviously, less variables. But I don't know if it, you know, in the large scale, there's still so many things you can do. But, you know.
I remember the Chaos Codex was one like that, too, where they used to have the Chaos Armory, which pretty much any character, like a squad leader, had access to. And then you could just turn anyone into, like, a super awesome, you know, unstoppable unit. So I think that's kind of an attempt to get away from that. So you throw 400 points into a squad and then it turns into this unstoppable monster, you know.
It's kind of true, yeah.
So they kind of balance that out, I think, by doing this.
I like my reference here in the notes for my Battlestar Galactica reference. Customization is a bit cluster-fracky.
Yes.
The reason I say that is before it would be like you have your basic unit, here's your stats, pick two weapons. And now you're basically got, here's your basic unit, he's got these two weapons, now it's, if you want something else, you gotta start swapping things out.
Right.
I mean, it's not a lot more messy, except in a few parts, like it's kind of funny, try to customize a Hive Tyrant. If you actually wanted to give your Hive Tyrant Skybeam Talons and Spine Fists,
right.
What you have to do is literally, you start with a Lash Whip and Bone Sword and Skybeam Talons, you swap out the Bone Sword and crap, another pair of Skybeam Talons, then you swap out a pair of Skybeam Talons with Spine Fist. So you get some kind of weird situations like that. Not that it's a big deal, but just kind of, well, it's just wonky. So some of the other general trends, we've definitely seen changes in psychic power options. Kind of goes in line with the lack of customization of the biomorphs. Specifically, I'm thinking of the Zoanthropes. You've only got two now. Basically, they're fixed, but before, you could customize about four or five different ways.
Right.
Same thing, pretty much, just trying to make it simpler, less psycho-powerful kind of stuff.
Yeah, I see what they're doing there, but it's not something I really like. Especially, like, when you make the Zoanthrope, you change him into sort of a... He's just an artillery piece now. And, you know, he's kind of a floaty las cannon. You know, it's not... The character loses something, you know.
More generic, yes.
It becomes more generic. I also, the Hive Tyrant psychic powers, I was not impressed with. There is one psychic power that's missing from the last codex. I forget which one it was. but it had -1 to leadership. So if you got four guys together, you know, you get -4 off leadership.
Okay.
It'd be pretty useful against, like, some Space Marines or something. Mm-hmm. And they got rid of that completely, which that really bummed me out. And, yeah, you know, like I said, the Zoanthropes, the Hive Tyrant, you know, his psychic powers. Other than that, they're all right.
That being said, the Zoanthrope is still halfway decent units, but...
Right, it's still an effective unit. Yes, it's just not as...
One-trick pony.
Yeah.
So moving on, just kind of in terms of overall stats, we're seeing, I mean, weapon skill, some went up, some went down. Ballistic skill, most of them went up. So actually, a lot of them got, like, lictors, and a few of those actually got ballistic attacks for the first time.
Right.
Strength, we're looking around about the same, a few, like, one change. Wounds, there's quite a few guys went from 2 to 3 wounds.
I noticed that, yeah. The wounds, they've definitely thrown a lot more into the mix.
Yeah, that's some situation that does help you out, but when you get the synapse stuff, it's kind of a downer too a little bit. Initiative, actually a few went down a little bit. Attacks, a lot went up. This deals with customization. Scything talents used to give you more attacks.
Right.
Now they don't, so that actually has been factored into the base number of attacks of the units. Leadership actually dropped a lot. If you look at my little chart here, I've got highlighted. A lot of them went down from 10s to like 7s to 6s to 6 to 5s. That also comes in with synapse.
Don't want to emphasize synapse more.
Yeah. Armor saves around the same, a few changes, but... So I keep talking about synapse. Let's just jump to that quickly. That's how basically there's psychic connection between the units. And big guys, you know, control little guys. So if the little guys are outside of the range of big guys, bad stuff tends to happen to them.
Right.
I think the biggest change is basically the negative for you when you played our game is synapse no longer protects against instant death.
Right.
I was picking off your warriors and your Zoanthropes with my railguns, no trouble at all. And that really ate away at your army.
That did. Because especially when you lose the synapse and your guys just sit there or panic and you got your ptarmigan shooting at devilfish and all that.
As a top player, how do you be a jerk? You have no synapse, like the guys right in front of you just slowly backing the devilfish up so they keep charging into it, and it's just...
Yep.
How do you be a jerk? So that was... deals with, how about deployment options? This is a very general thing. There's lots of new deep striking stuff. You didn't have that as much in the old Codex, especially the Mycetic Spores, and of course now our favorite Trigun Molochs that burst out of the ground. How do you think that changes your play in terms of how you play your army?
Well, the Mycetic Spore is really nice, I gotta admit. I do like that. It's like they finally gave us, as Tyranid players, like a drop pod or rhino sort of vehicle that you can use to get your guys in there. As far as all the deep striking, I'm not a big fan of deep striking, especially with Tyranids, because Tyranids, their armor, it's okay. And once you deep strike, your guys, you know, they can shoot, but they can't assault now the turn that they deep strike. So once you're in there, you gotta be ready to have your guys absorb some fire.
Mm. And I basically literally build my army to protect against that, so as soon as you popped up, I had enough AP3 to go at you,
right.
It just kind of fell apart for you. It's something different. It kept me worried, and in some ways, it obviously took a lot of mind fire from the Tau Empire fire off your main force slowly charging at me, but when you got so much heavy firepower to be able to concentrate on one guy, they just can't survive.
Not typically, no.
So, it'd be kind of cool if you had, like, maybe, you have to do a very coordinated assault as best you possibly can. Like, you know, have all the Triguns, all Malks come up right at once.
Right.
And on top of that, then, you know, use their Hive Tyrant ability where you get +1 to your reinforcement rolls. So you can try to get them all coming up at once.
Or maybe throw in a, the Lictor with the pheromone trails, too.
Oh,
so
yeah. That'll
give you an extra +1.
Mm-hmm.
So that means your first roll, you'd be rolling 2 pluses.
Another thing about the Mycetic Spores is they're big. Well, they're sort of big. We don't know exactly how big they are. We kind of approximate the size. They block line of sight.
Yes.
Now, I had trouble with that later in the game. I was trying to shoot your warriors, but they're half blocked by your Mycetic Spores. So you could use those, really put some little guys in those and just use them as a wall to kind of give you some covering fire. So it definitely changes things up. Let's jump into special characters. So obviously, this is the first time we've got named characters in the official Tyranid Codex.
Well, we had Old One Eye in version 3, didn't we?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know about version 3. He might have been... The last Codex didn't have him in there anyway, I should say.
Yeah.
So I think what I was told by some of the more long-term Tyranid players, most of these special characters have shown up somewhere, like an Imperial Armor book or something like that. This is the first time, though, they're in the main Codex. Well, not necessarily first time. First time most of them are in the main Codex. Old One-Eye, whatever. He might have been in there earlier. So that's just something different. Little give the Tyranids some crazy special powers because they're not limited in terms of how many points you can use them in. So if you want to throw them down to 500,000 point games and, you know, super powerful guys, go nuts. Lots of weapon changes in terms of non-variable strength. You know, remember how the old Codex was, you know, you had 2 strength and minus 2 strength, maximum this, minimum that.
Right.
We don't have that.
That's right.
What do you think about that?
Well, it makes things easier, that's for sure. I'm not sure if I like it, though, just because I think it takes away from a little bit of the flavor of the game. Like, I noticed they also got rid of the variable assault.
Yes.
You know. Whereas before, it would be 2 times your base number of attacks, or 1 time your base number of attacks. Now it's just assault 3. Okay, I guess. You know, it works, but I kind of miss the variable strength ones.
It makes them like everyone else.
Yes, that's a good way of describing it.
Whereas before, like I said, it was more complex, especially when you start tossing in biomorphs and things, you know, Skyding Challenge wouldn't add to it before, and you know, it's messy, but it's different.
Right.
And as long as you kept track of, you know, what you're doing, it wasn't that big a deal once you got in the battle, as long as you had it all figured out ahead of time.
Right.
So it's just something different. How about the new Battle Force? You seen this yet?
The new Battle Force?
Yeah, the new now it's a $105 box set, I think, but $110.
Not familiar with that.
You know, it's the basic giant box set you can get to start off your Tyranid army with. Before you had 8 Gene Stealers, 8 Ormagons, 8 Termagons, 3 warriors, and a Carnifex. They've now dropped the Carnifex out and gave you twice as many Ormagons and Termagons. So you got lots of little guys. Which, something different.
That makes sense, because you really do need a horde to get started, and then you can just build off of that.
Because also, where before you could have squads of 8 Ormagons, 8 Termagons, you can't do that anymore. 10's the minimum.
Is it 10 now?
10's the minimum. So that's probably also the reason why they changed it, because there would be some of the people in a legal unit, which isn't all that nice to do when you're trying to get people to play your game. But hey. So those are some of the general trends to it. Let's talk about some of the actual specific unit categories. Start with HQs, which of course lead your army into battle. Some of the biggest things, Tyranid Warriors are no longer an HQ choice, a normal troop choice. How does that affect your strategy?
Well, how does that affect my strategy? Not too bad. I would say the biggest loss that I'm going to notice in the HQ choices was the Broodlord, because now they've kind of turned him into a squad, big Gene Stealer squad commander, and I don't know, I was a big fan of the Broodlord, so that's a definite loss. As far as the Warriors, as long as they're still Synapse creatures, then I don't think that that's too big of a... going to make too much of a difference.
Because you probably use your Hive Tyrant mostly as your main leader anyway, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Hive Tyrant and Broodlords, I like those guys. Never really used the Warriors. I mean, I guess it is requiring you now to have something big like this. You can't just have your Warriors in the back calling the shots. Mm-hmm. So that's 150, 200 points you automatically got to sink into a HQ.
So I guess the Hive Tyrant is still fairly similar stat-wise, you know, weapon-wise, all that kind of thing. He still has his, you know, the Tyrant guards you can throw down. The Terrorgon is an interesting one. Terrorgon, we actually didn't use him at all because they don't think there's a figure out for him yet. But he's the one who spawns Termagons. You know, he's basically a gigantic, almost Carnifex-looking thing. But each turn, he can crank out another brood of Termagons to keep sending it at the guys.
Right.
So, something different. Interesting. Also, you got the Swarm Lord, the new, unique one.
Right.
Big, huge, 4 bone swords.
Do they make a model of him?
They did not make a model of him. Like, basically, one of the guys I play with in my club, he made a model because apparently some has 7 Hive Tyrant models.
Nice.
And just took, you know, 2 bone swords from the 2 kits, all the kits, and stuck them all together. So it looks really cool. He is a beast from what it looks like. You know, like I said, we haven't played with him yet either, but he looks like a beast too.
Yeah.
They might have a kit out for him. If not, they're probably going to soon. You know, I know off the top of my head, because the other guy, other unique characters have kits. I know old One-Eye has a kit, so does a Death Leaper, and something else. So he might actually have one out. If not, he's probably get one soon. Stat changes, they're all, like I said, we already did that. There's nothing too terribly significant for the tier, or for the Hive Lord. He's pretty much... Hive Tigers. Well, he had a better weapon skill, better strength, and more attacks. So that was also, the attacks were just because the Scything Talons changes. Do you think he plays any different? I mean, he kind of deep striked in and got shot up, but... Would you do that again?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. I was kind of counting on having him and my Trigon show up on the same turn. Mm. That didn't happen. So then you got that made it so that the fire could be divided amongst the two.
Mm. Now, one neat thing he has, though, is the plus one to reserve roll. So you actually have a much better chance of bringing guys in.
Right.
Was that from the old codex or not? I don't remember.
I don't recall, but I want to say no. Okay. I mean, I could be wrong, though.
But I guess probably not, because Tyranids weren't so heavily dependent on reserve units, because they weren't so much deep striking.
So many deep striking,
burrowing,
right.
Crap and things. Yeah.
I also like the new rule with burrowing, where you can burrow out of a tunnel opening, and then that tunnel opening serves as a jumping-off point for other guys. That was cool.
Yeah, the Trigon has that, and some of the guys do. So that's all under the... We'll get to that for the heavy support choices. Let's talk about the elites for a minute here. These are kind of like your special kind of... They're not the generals of the army, but they would be... How would you describe them? Kind of the higher... What would be the higher ranking, more or less?
Maybe the lieutenants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except sort of Tyranids kind of have that kind of structure.
Right.
Just giant insects. Big guy, Lictor. He's not... There he is. He's hiding over here. He's got some cool new stuff. He's basically a gigantic thing that stalks in the woods and jumps out at you and kills you. Did you read about his chameleon skin ability?
I did.
That is interesting. See, he deploys differently now. What do you think about that?
I was a little confused by the chameleon skin. It's saying that you can deploy him anywhere that's not within 1 inch of another model.
He basically just shows up right there.
Yeah, he just pops out and has his way with you. So that's going to be interesting. I could definitely come up with some uses for that.
Now, I don't know if... Can he assault when he does that?
No. That's...
Specifically say that?
Yeah, specifically says you can't assault.
That's another downer thing. If you're right next to someone, lots of guns pointed at you. I mean, granted, now you can take them three in a brood. So, if you have three of them in a brood, they're probably going to... At least one of them's probably going to survive the assault, but still, it's...
I was thinking you'd have to have them start, like, behind a wall or in cover or something.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that could be, too. Or maybe just have him pop up some unit off this far off the side that's kind of left alone. Just have him pop up there and attack. You probably have some fun with that. How about the Zoanthrope? Now he's an elite instead of a heavy choice. Or heavy support choice. You think that's going to make the armies a little more flexible? Because you're probably going to take more of those? Or
possibly. Opens up another heavy support slot, which is good. Because I almost always use Zoanthropes. I think it's... opens things up a little more. I think that was a good decision.
Now, one of their new abilities is they can deep strike in with these Mycetic Spores.
Yes.
So you could put them right down next to a vehicle.
Yes, you could.
Is there a particular reason why you chose not to do that, or do you just need the synapse along the front line for your guys?
Well, for today's game, I needed them as synapse.
Okay.
Behind, because I had a big swarm, that big swarm of termagants. I needed synapse creatures out front leading the way. Or not... leading the way, but you know.
Keeping them in line. Because you know what's a bit of a downer by making the Tyranid Warriors troops when you have a situation like that? If you have lots of large swarms, you can't have as many Tyranid Warriors controlling them all. But
that's true.
So you almost have to rely a little bit more on Zoanthropes and things like that to keep them in line. How about the Doom of Malentai? Did you see he's the unique special Zoanthrope? Did you read about him at all yet?
No, I didn't.
He is... One of those guys on paper sounds absolutely terrifying and scary. The only thing that really makes him really weak is the fact he can instant kill him. He's a Zoanthrope, but his special ability is like leech life, where any unit within 6 inches of him, basically just people die. They basically got to make a command check in 3d6, and then they die, and he takes their wounds. So basically he can make himself stronger, up to 10 wounds he can have. And because of this gigantic brick, that's basically tough to kill at 10 wounds. It's all for 90 points, too.
Yeah.
So, it sounds great on paper. I don't know how well it'd work in the gameplay, but definitely sounds frightening and a bit on the terrifying side.
Well, it's a special character, you said? So at least you. There's only one of them
out there. Yes, at least only one of them out there. That'd be interesting. How about the Venomthrope? The Tyranid player I was talking to on Friday, he says they're worthless. We didn't use them today, but anything stands out about them at all?
Are they? They're the ones that have the poison.
Yeah, that was the poison crap and things.
Yeah, I really didn't get a chance to use them. From what I looked at, I didn't see anything overly impressive about them. The model I didn't think was that cool. So
it looks like a Zoanthrope with some tentacles coming.
Yeah,
out.
So we really have a good chance to look into that. I'm not too excited though.
Now, an interesting change was they got kind of like a unique squad. The Yamaro Gene Stealers. I think I got that pronounced right.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Which, from the fantasy, or from the fiction of 40K, Yamaro was, like, the moon of Yamaro was where these, humans found Gene Stealers. Of course, at the time, they didn't know they were Tyranids, but they were actually Tyranid organisms kind of advancing in front of the main high fleet or whatnot. The big thing about them is they have a 4+ armor save, but the main Gene Stealers don't anymore.
Right.
And I think that's a huge change, because in the few times I played Tyranids, I always gave my Gene Stealers a 4+ armor save.
So did I, actually. Or, yeah.
And, I mean, in our today's battle, it didn't really help you too much. I was hitting with AP4 weapons, but there are times that would definitely help you keep you alive, especially against mainline infantry weapons. Like, oftentimes the main infantry forces have AP5 weapons, but we'll talk more about that in a little bit when we get the Gene Stealers. So I guess if you want 4+ armor save on Gene Stealers, you gotta take these guys, which have smaller units, 5 to 10.
Right.
Bit of a trade-off. The Carnifax. Originally, you could build kind of, I guess, a weakened version of the Carnifax, and you could take that as an elite choice. You can't do that anymore. Which, did you ever use that?
I did, actually. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to have a Carnifax, you could just give him a... You know, you're super strong. If you're just going to use him as, like, some sort of, like, a battering ram to just run into the force and, like, start flipping over tanks and stuff, that was a great choice for... Because you can get a couple of those guys, you know, go into an Imperial Guard army and just start flipping the tanks. And it worked out really well. The whole Carnifex thing, what they did to me, was kind of a loss. Because the Carnifex was where you could just kind of go wild with your biomorphs. And you could make pretty much anything you wanted. You could, it'd be like being able to put Storm Bolters with Strength 9 on the side of like a rhino or something, because it was you could just do whatever you wanted. And now they've completely scaled it back. And I think that what they did with the Carnifex is they took that, and the Tyrannofex is what it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
Is before you could have your, he was so customizable, the Carnifex unit. You could have him either as your frontline battering ram guy who's going to run in and tear stuff up, or he was your guy that sat in the back and was launching the Strength 10 Venom Cannon shots. So now they've kind of split them up. So you got the Carnifex, he's going to be your battering ram, and you got your Tyrannifex, which is your heavy support, long-range stuff, heavy weapons.
So, also along the lines of the elites, we've got the new Hive Guard, new heavy ranged unit. Looks kind of like for light anti vehicles, space marine, squishy kind of things, I think.
Yeah.
Nothing terribly fancy. They're a big gun on a kind of big guy. Then you've got the Pyro Boar. He's an oddball little unit. Best way to kind of describe him, flamethrower weapon. He spits like a stream of acid that can blow up.
It's like a Biovore that shoots.
Yeah.
Flames, yeah.
Except if you do instant kill him, he explodes and kills your own guy. So it's a little bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Especially now that instant kill is so prevalent. It's like, okay, I guess maybe you might use that. I don't know. That's another one of the units people complain about. But they will find a use for it. Codex is still relatively new.
Yeah.
Let's go to Fast Attack. These are the quick hit guys, scout troops, things that run in, get, you know, run back. Usually lightly armored in some ways. The Tyranid Shrike, which is now what was a Tyranid Warrior with wings, is now a separate unit choice. Of course, you threw a bunch of these down. What do you think of them?
The Tyranid Shrike?
Yes.
Well, I like them. They were, it was nice that when I when I wanted to have my jump infantry, I just chose the Tyranid Shrike, and that was it. I didn't have to spend time figuring out all the stats. So, I mean, that was easier. That was nice. Unfortunately, they all got... They served as very good, drawing fire. They absorbed a lot of it, but they all got wiped out the turn they arrived. So I didn't get a chance to see how they would have done in close combat.
They soaked up a lot of small arms fire, though.
Yeah.
Though that 5-plus armor save is a real downer to them. Because before, I assume you probably could have given them a 4-plus armor save with all the customizations.
Yeah, you could do whatever you wanted. So.
And that really hurt them when it came to all my AP5 pulse rifle weapons. All that kind of stuff.
They do have a third wound, though, which would be really nice in close combat.
That would be. Let's see about gargoyles. You ever used them before?
Nope. I have no experience with gargoyles.
They aren't very common. I don't think I've ever seen anyone ever use them. The harpy. Think a trigon, giant thing that flies.
Yeah.
It looks cool on paper. I mean, haven't tried it yet. It's a brand new unit. Probably be cool to try out sometime. Any thoughts on it?
Same. I looked over it. Might be worth trying one of these days. Now that they have plastic gargoyles, you can get a whole squad of them for $30, so I might pick them up just for the heck of it. Play around with them.
What about then the Raveners? They're mini trigons. They've been around for a while. They burst out of the ground and they start slashing people up. You ever use them at all?
Nope. Never used Raveners. The biggest problem I've had with them in the past is that it's the same old deep strike problem. You have them bust up behind the squad. Mm-hmm. Squad's got an entire turn to turn around and just annihilate them. Mm-hmm. And they were, I don't know what they are in this codex, but I remember they were very fragile models in the last one.
I still think they have like an AP5, or not, I mean, armor save plus something like that. So they're not super awesome.
Yeah, they gave him an extra wound and they gave him an extra attack, so that's good, but they're still, to me, they're just not worth the points.
Mm-hmm. At least on the plus side, though, they're now plastic models, which ironically only saves you about $6 for 3 of them, but something different. More plastic models usually isn't a bad thing. Let's move on to the troop choices. You've got the Ormegaunts. Small guys leap really fast. 2 giant claws slash people up. What do you think about them in the new codex?
They were... do you remember how many points they were on the last one?
Oh, 11?
Yeah, the last one, they were cool, but they cost so many points that it was kind of prohibitive to actually use them. So it was kind of nice now that 5 points... I mean, yeah, they lost their 12-inch leap and assault move, but, you know, you can find ways to work around that, especially with seismic, or what are they called? Spore pods?
Oh, the mycetic spores?
Mycetic spores, yeah, which is what I did today, and it was interesting. Yeah.
Came out assaulting, they ripped out the Fire Warrior squad.
Yeah.
That wasn't too bad.
So I think with some tweaking, I think it was a good change. It makes them more useful again.
Termagants. So they're kind of similar creatures, but they have small guns instead of big claws. You used a lot of them today. They probably work some... They are probably the least changed from the book, I think.
I would agree with
that. The only thing they lost is without numbers, so the only way they respond now is with that new Termagant HQ units that are just constantly flooding on the board after you kill them.
They lost that, and then they lost Fleet.
Oh, that's right, Fleet. Yeah.
That's not too big a deal either, because they're Termagants are usually your shield wall, so, you know.
There's only so much advantage of a shield wall too much in front of you.
Once they get into hand-to-hand, that's just kind of like gravy, so, you know.
So, I mentioned a little about the new packaging. Ormegaunts are in a separate box from the Termagants, or before they're packaged together. They are a little bit cheaper. The old box, you would get basically $2.18 a figure. New box is just about a little over $2 a figure, which, not a huge change, but it's a little cheaper. Gene Stealers. You know, I talked a little about this, the loss of Extended Carapace. They've only got two attacks now because Scything Talon changes. Do you still find them useful, you think?
They used to be
kind of terrifying.
They used to be terrifying, and now I haven't actually had a chance to get them into hand-to-hand yet.
But they still look like they're, that's
pretty big. That was one of the things that made them so terrifying, was when you charge, you get four attacks.
Not much would survive that kind of
thing. Yeah. So, I believe they will still be useful, but they will not be quite as, you know, the psychological blow that they were before.
Tyranid Warriors, like I already mentioned, they're similar, but they're now a troop choice, which is something different. Dedicated Transports, so I talked a lot about the Mycetic Spore coming down, and the fact also can carry a Carnifax. Which, if you still use Carnifaxes, it was kind of cool, I guess.
Yes.
But same problem, have a deep strike in your game. The Ripper Swarms. How do you think those are with the way they kind of die if they get out of Synapse? Think it changes their strategy at all, or they still seem...
If you use a swarm of them, if you have 10 of them, then... Because it happened today, and, you know, you suffer one or two wounds, it's not too big a deal.
Mm.
Especially when they're 3-wound creatures that are 10 points each. Ripper Swarms, though, I mean, are they useful? Maybe. I'm not sure yet, to be honest. So I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Did you use them a lot before?
I did, actually. Okay. I'm not sure if they still have the ability. They used to be able to give them Spine Fists.
I think you still do that.
Okay, because I always like doing that, because then they could kind of hop up and, you know, be shooting their stuff out.
There were a few changes, though. They lost the weapon skills. So they're down to 2 instead of 3, so it went down a little bit. Also, leadership dropped because now the way the whole Synapse things work. So they're maybe a little bit weaker than what they were, but they're still all right.
I mean, they're basically there to be a nuisance creature.
Yeah.
They're going to either tie you up in hand-to-hand or...
Or just soak, take lots of fire.
Take lots of fire, yeah. They're not going to be...
One interesting thing about how their package is now, they are a separate unit. You actually buy a box set of Ripper Swarms, and before they would come with the other guys. Like, they come with things of the Warriors and the Ormagon kits. I don't know if they're still going to come with them, but you can buy them as a separate kit now, like 3 for $9 or something. So,
it's interesting.
A little
change
of packaging. Let's get back to the heavy support choices. We're actually pretty close to the end of the show already. Wow, it's going pretty fast. The Carnifax Brood. Big, giant tanks. Got one sitting over here. The biggest downer of them is they're a lot more expensive, don't you think?
Which ones now?
The Carnifax. They really got a lot more points.
Yes, they did. They're a lot less customizable.
Do you think you're going to... Is there a reason why you'd take them over a Trigon or a Moloch? Or the Tyranifax?
Well, I would take... Not off the top of my head. I mean, I'm going to have to really sit down and digest this thing before I start... developing a sense of the nuance, but I do feel like they've had a lot of their thunder stolen here, especially with the addition of the Tyranifex. That's huge.
Because he's even got the better armor save. I mean, you can't even give them a 2-up armor save anymore, which makes them highly vulnerable to AP3 weapons, which I brought a lot of. So Trigon, I already talked a little bit about them, giant beetles that burst out of the ground. You use the Moloch. He's cool ability is the fact that it can basically burst out underneath the enemy unit and do damage to it.
Right.
Do you think you actually use that a lot? I mean...
Well, it's a cool ability, but it's the same thing with the deep striking where you bust up out of the ground and, yeah, you absorb a lot of fire, but he was another one. He bust up and I lost him in the same turn.
You killed like 5 fire warriors with it and that's about it.
It's got a very, very cool ability, but I don't know if it's going to be... useful ability, so
it's one of those kind of depressing things where a guy pops up and is like, wait a minute, where's my buddies? They didn't come this turn. Bam, he takes all the fire and dies. It's kind of frustrating, I'd imagine.
Like I said, it's very cool, but it's not so far found tactically to be somewhat lacking.
The Trigon would be an interesting thing to try with his the tunneling thing. You talked a little bit about that. That'd be kind of cool, where he busts up and lots of guys start coming out of there. Of course, that also depends on the fact he's got Deep Strike first before everyone else does. Otherwise, you basically have them running on the reserves from the edge of the board and they're kind of nullified for the game. So a little bit of luck involved there. What about the Biovore? He was never a guy that showed up too much. he's not all that different in this. A little bit better armor, but...
Well, they took away... You used to be able to choose from three different types mines. Now they only have one,
just a big bomb thing.
Which is like your standard frag missile. It's like 4+, AP 4, or strength 4, AP 4, so nothing too spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, he's still hanging around. That's about it.
So that's all the covering a lot of the units. Why don't we talk a little bit about the battle we had today here. So we did an 1850-point battle. Obviously, you played the new Tyranids. I spent the week building a Tau Empire army that was designed to kill the new Tyranids, and frankly, it worked pretty well. The end result, I think we played an Annihilation mission. It ended up like 8 or 9-2 in favor of me. How do you think you'd play differently now that you've actually got your hands on the Tyranids? What do you think worked? What didn't work?
Well, the Tyrannifex is... He's a monster. He has 2+ armor save, toughness 6, and so he's able to take a lot of fire. He's got 6 wounds too, so he's going to be, especially in the future games, like when I use him as an artillery unit.
Mm-hmm.
I just have him sitting in the back, launching out his.
He's got a 4-foot range weapon he can be taken.
Yeah, that's probably what I should have given him this game. But I just thought it would be cool to use the Assault 20 weapon. So I just really wanted to get that on the field. It was fun. So, but yeah, I think if you put like 2 of these in the back and their weapon, I believe his weapon gets 2 shots too.
I think so.
That's going to be dangerous, especially in the future.
Yeah, it's basically, Assault 2, it becomes a long range tank killer.
Right.
It's almost like, in some ways, a mini railgun. It's a little bit shorter range, but it's got... Yeah, it's pretty deadly.
It's pretty deadly and...
And
it's on a frame that's going to be pretty tough to kill. So I think that's going to be formidable.
Any other comments?
Well, for the game today, I probably would have wished I could have done that. Other than that, I think that seeing as how this was a new codex that I just had the chance to purchase yesterday... When I put my army together, I think I used... I put it together in the same style that you put together an army from the previous codex. Mm-hmm. So once I have a time to digest this stuff a little bit more, I'll probably be able to catch on to... Yeah.
You're going to want a rematch, I assume.
Yeah. Get a little more feel for the nuance of the army and whatnot. Then, be able to do a rematch.
Let me talk a little bit about fighting against it. We're coming down the last few minutes of the show here. In terms of fighting against the new Tyranids, one of the biggest things is the lack of 2+ armor saves. Only the Tyrannifex and the Hive Tyrant can be upgraded to take that. So if you're fighting against them, bring lots of AP3 weapons. As a Tau Empire, I brought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like about 5 plasma rifles and 2 other ion heads, giving me a total of around, theoretically, I don't know, maybe like 12 to 14 shots of AP3 per turn. On top of that, I had a full squad of broadsides for AP1s. Mainly, team those things up with your Markolites and start picking off the Synapse creatures. The lack of protection against instant death, that's... I'm going to say that again. The fact that there's no longer protection against instant death makes your Synapse creatures really vulnerable. Pick them off and the army starts to crumble a little bit at a time. I don't know how you really fight against that, except you just have to maybe sacrifice someone to go after deep strike in and take their broadsides out, because they're the ones who are doing all that sniping.
That's right, yeah.
So, I don't know, it's something to consider. I mean, basically, I literally built the army to... My goal was to be able to kill 2 Trigons in 1 turn. I'd probably have enough firepower to do that if I really wanted to, but it's something to try out. That's the main thing. Lots of high AP weapons. That's how you kill the Tyranids now, really. I mean, to some extent, the templates are always going to be a good thing to break up the little guys, especially now that Gene Stealers don't have that 4+ armor save.
Well, it's funny, too, because you got 2 armies that are, like, the polar opposites.
Yeah.
You know, you got great hand-to-hand, kind of mediocre, shooty stuff, whereas Tau, you have awesome guns and no hand-to-hand ability.
Yeah, no hand-to-hand ability at all.
Because whenever I actually got into hand-to-hand with your guys,
poorly.
They got squished, but they did a very good job of holding back my horde with their firepower.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's about it. So hopefully they gave you a good overview about the basics of the new Tyranid Codex. Maybe sometime in the future we get some more games on, we can bring you in, let's get some detailed army lists going, talk more about tactics. That'd be a lot of fun to get some of the real detailed stuff, see what really works, what really doesn't. As usual, questions or comments, send them over to jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And, of course, Twitter @TT_Battlefield. And you can see, you know, what I'm, especially I talked a little bit about the army I was building. I don't know if you saw my comments I posted about the army I was trying to build, where I was trying to build a Trigon killer, but I do stuff like that. So follow me on Twitter. With that, any last comments about the Codex? What do you say, like it, don't like it?
It's interesting. It's not something that, I think overall I like it. There are a few things with every Codex that you're going to be disappointed with if they changed. So, but overall I like it. When you're flipping through it, I kind of felt like, especially when I was making my army, it's like you're looking at a buffet and you don't know what you're going to have exactly. So after some time, I narrow it down, I think it'll be fun.
I would say now that I've actually got to play against it and saw, you know, how my firepower works against it, with most of the stuff doesn't immediately scream like, holy crap, this seems broken. You know, any individual unit doesn't really seem like that. The question is, obviously, aren't any crazy combos would develop? Probably, but for now, with exception of maybe the Doom of Molantai special Zoanthrope, nothing really screams, I gotta be terrified, frightened of this thing because it's gonna really screw me over.
Right.
Because so we'll see what happens in the coming months with it. It's off to a good start, I think. Looking forward to playing it again. And at some point, I would like to get my Tyranids built up and actually run it myself. So, with that, let's go ahead and just sign off.
All right. I'm Joel.
There we go. And I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.